in the bliss and the beauty of God's presence. And Elder Morris reminded me that it's not the speaker that matters. It's the presence of God's Spirit that matters. And as you look at your program, you're going to see my name and my wife's name on the program. But tomorrow night, my wife will be presenting the first of her series to encourage people to be transparent and authentic and to participate in recovering from hurts and hang-ups and habits. So you won't want to miss that tomorrow night. Then tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be sharing the components of the Creation Health Program and how that works. I've already been with your pastors. We had a wonderful time in January. I even got snowed in the Charleston airport. So I have a good taste of West Virginia weather. And my friends, Jesus wants to come back. And He could come back tonight. But He doesn't want to deprive His church of reflecting His character to the world. He's posed that invitation to us, and we've seen His disciples grappling with that concept, falling, and then getting it and actually reflecting His character to the world. So tonight I'm going to share my testimony with you, what God has done in a small little church. You don't have to be embarrassed about a small church. God can do great big things in small churches. So before we begin, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we were created to thrive in Your presence. And Lord, tonight again, we want to experience the rushing wind of Your Spirit amongst us and through the chambers of our hearts. Father, I thank You for each one of Your children that are gathered here tonight. Father, I thank You for this camp meeting. I thank You for the pastors and the workers, the leaders, the volunteers, every person that has made this event possible, and every person that gets in their vehicle and drives back to their churches. Oh God, we call for revival. We claim the promise of Joel chapter 2, that You will pour Your Spirit upon all flesh. Young men, young women, old men, old women, and all those in between, send Your sweet Spirit again tonight. As we open Your sweet, precious word, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to share my favorite scripture with you before I start. And it's found in John chapter 14 and verse 12. These are the red letters, and this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. John 14, verse 12. If you want a page there, you're welcome. Because these are words that you can't read and ignore. Because God created each one of us to do great things in expanding His kingdom. He created us even before the fall to do great things. And so Jesus says to His disciples, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father." greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So I want to ask you tonight, are you content with your Christian life? I want to ask you if when you hear Elder Morris speaking about Jasmine's story, if your heart didn't thrill for an experience like that with God. When you read about the miracles that take place in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, if your heart doesn't thrill and you feel a magnetism and a drawing to greater things, if you don't feel a drawing to the power of God working in your life and through you to others, how many of you experience that thrill and that drawing? Let me see your hands tonight. Of course. And so when we read a passage like this, our hearts thrill and we say, yes, God, I want to do greater things than these for your kingdom. And so when the Pathways to Health stand up and they do the promotion of what's coming, our hearts thrill. When we see those videos, our hearts thrill. We want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. But the question I ask is, are we? We seem to be stuck in a place where we can't move out of. And we hear about the power of God. We hear about great revivals. We hear about the kingdom of God expanding with power in certain parts. And yet somehow it's not happening with us. And we ask ourselves the question, why? So in 2009... the Florida Conference conducted 3 mission seminars, February, March, and April. And the Florida Conference invited us, pastors and workers and church leaders, to attend these mission seminars. And so we did. And the speakers told us about phenomenal mission stories about what was happening in different communities. And we walked away from those mission conferences so inspired, thinking, oh God, can this happen in our time? Can this be repeated? Or is this just sporadic, isolated incidents that happen where there's a specific need at a specific time? So Pastor Bob Hayes and myself, he works in Flagler County, just about an hour and a half down the road from me. And we got together and we prayed. And we said, God, do this again in our time. The time is right. When we look around at our world is in such great need. People are hurting everywhere. There's poverty, there's lifestyle-related diseases that shouldn't happen. There's abuse in the homes. There's people are addicted to all kinds of things. You'll see my wife tomorrow night. She'll have a list, a whole page full of addictions, ranging from food to work to religion. So we prayed this prayer and we say, God, please, will you work in our districts? We were tired of inwardly focused church, where we have a routine. We go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We go to church on Sabbath morning to the lesson study, which is great. I mean, we have wonderful studies in our church. We listen to the worship. We go to the worship service. We listen to a sermon. We have potluck. And that's all wonderful. But what are we doing outside of our four walls? Are we reaching the pierced ears, eared people and the tattoos? Are we reaching the prostitutes and the drunkards? Are we reaching those
who are considering suicide. Please, God, take us out of our four walls. And being a third generation Adventist pastor, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to get out of my four walls. I'm afraid people are going to ridicule me and laugh at me because I keep the seventh-day Sabbath and I like Vigilinks. I'm intimidated by the outside. I'm different. I don't know where to start. So I pray the prayer. I say, God, please show me just a way out of this kind of enclave, this castle of Seventh-day Adventism, which is great. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. But show me how to kind of lower the drawbridge over that impassable moat so I can get to the outside and I can invite people to come and dine with us and share with us, and I can go and dine with them and share with them. So Pastor Bob calls me up and he says, this is a few months later, he calls me up and he says, Andre, a wonderful thing has happened in my church. He says, we are working with a group in Flagler County to run a free medical clinic. He says, my church are staffing that. We get volunteer physicians that come in, and my church members are the administrative staff, you know, just like we're talking about at Pathways. You don't have to be a medical physician to work in a clinic. No. There's all kinds of support staff that work in these free clinics. I said, Bob, that's pretty amazing. I said, I have to come and see this. So I don't go to the church board. I get up in the pulpit the very next week and I say to the church, we're doing a tour to Palm Coast next Sunday. We'll see you in the parking lot at the church at 8 a.m. And sure enough, we carpool and we go down to Palm Coast. And there we walk around the free medical clinic that Pastor Bob Hayes is running with some of the people in his community. And we look at this and we just think, wow, we wish we could do something like this. And so I say, okay, God, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to do this, but I'm asking you to open the door. And so in every state, there are volunteer trainers. The state is so excited to see free medical clinics open up because there are so many people that don't have health insurance. And it all falls on the state health departments to help these people. So if there's a group anywhere that will start a free medical clinic, the state will send a trainer to train those people on how to open a free medical clinic. So I get the number from Pastor Bob and I call the state volunteer trainer. I say, we'd like to start a free medical clinic here in Clay County. Could you come and train our volunteers? Oh, yes, sir, yes. We'll come and train them. She says, let me look at my calendar. So they set a date for us. A few days later, I get an email from the state volunteer trainer. And she says in the email, she says, there's some free medical equipment available from a medical clinic there in Clay County. Please contact this lady if you are interested. Okay, there's a free medical clinic already in Clay County. Okay, so I emailed the lady and I said, I'm interested in your equipment because we want to start a free medical clinic. A day or two later, my phone rings and the director of the Way Free Medical Clinic is on the phone. She says, hi, Mr. Van Heerden, I got your email. Tell me, where did you want to start a free medical clinic? I said, well, ma'am, I don't know. You know, I saw one in Palm Coast and I just like to start one. She says, well, did you know that we already have a free medical clinic here in Clay County? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't. She says, well, why don't you come over and meet with me and we'll talk about it. So a few days later, I go over and I meet with Jeannie Galena from the Way Free Medical Clinic in Clay County. And so we're talking and I feel impressed and I say, well, if there's one free medical clinic, why should we start another one? That doesn't make sense, right? So I ask her, I say, how full is your clinic? Do you have an overflow from the Saturday morning clinics that you do? Do you have an overflow? She says, oh yes, regularly we do. So I said, how would you like a Sunday clinic to deal with the overflow from your Saturday morning clinic? She said, we'd love that. So I called the volunteer trainer back and I said, look, don't worry, we're not starting our own clinic. We're going to help the Way Free Medical Clinic and we're going to start a Sunday clinic there, but please come and train our volunteers. Cut a long story short, 3 months after we did the Palm Coast tour, we started volunteering at the Way Free Medical Clinic. And there we have Orange Cove Seventh-day Adventist Church members volunteering at the Way Free Medical Clinic. Now, my friends, I'm a third-generation Adventist pastor. I know what we have taught as an Adventist church, that we should not mix with people from the outside. But let me tell you something, that's an incorrect teaching. When we promote that teaching, you know what we are saying? We are saying that God is not able to work in the Catholic Church. We are saying that God is not able to work in the Methodist Church. How many of you know Roger Morneau? Who have read Roger Morneau's book? What was Roger Morneau before he became a Seventh-day Adventist? A spiritualist. Was God working in the spiritualistic church to bring Roger Morneau to a Seventh-day Adventist church? Yes or no? He was. We limit God's power to work in any of the other churches when we don't go and mix with those people. If we are too afraid to go and mix with those people, it means that we are not grounded enough. And if you're afraid, then don't go. But if you are grounded in the truth that God has given to you, then go. Because the truth that God has given to you through a relationship of disinterested love, the truth will flow over to where there isn't truth, rather than where there isn't truth coming to where there is truth. If you've gotten up in the morning, like Dr. Morris said, and you've become saturated with the Word of God, you're not going to be influenced where there is no saturation. Do I hear an amen? So the Way Free Medical Clinic is run by a Catholic lady. And she had a lot of Catholic people in the Way Free Medical Clinic. But you know what? An Adventist group came in there and worked alongside those people to do the compassionate works of Christ. When Seventh-day Adventists aren't hearing God's call to go out into the communities and do His work, if the Catholics hear the call, they're going to go. I know it's very quiet here. But my friends, as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in 2009, after all my years as a Seventh-day Adventist, it was the first time that I had gotten out of my four walls. And I saw God's Spirit moving outside my church. Because if my church won't hear God's call, the people, He will call others, even if they don't go according to the exact teachings that I believe is the truth. So from working at the Way Free Medical Clinic, we got an opportunity. We were invited to an organization called the Mercy Network. Jeannie Galena said, Andre, I think you'd really enjoy going to the Mercy Network. The Mercy Network is a network of organizations, nonprofits, faith-based, and local government agencies who do social services in Clay County. It was one of the most humbling experiences I've ever encountered. Because here I'm sitting in that round table, and they're introducing themselves before the meeting starts. I'm the only Adventist there. There's 50 other people sitting there. So I'm sitting there, now I'm listening. Hi, my name is Mary Cook. I'm from the Orange Park United Methodist Church. We offer rent assistance, food pantry, and utility assistance to those who are in need. I sink a little lower in my seat. Hi, my name is Terry Rowland. Now, these are people that I've met and I know, so I'm telling you their real names. Hi, my name is Terry Rowland. We operate the clothes closet of Clay County. We supply clothing and furniture and food to those who are in need. And I'm sinking a little lower in my seat. Hi, my name's Mike Moran. I'm from the Red Cross of Clay County. And we supply accommodations and supplies to people that have house fires or flooding. And so they start going around the room, introducing themselves, people called by God to make a difference in their community. And I've never heard this before. I've been in Clay County for like 3 or 4 years before that, and I wasn't at that table. I walked away there humbled. Seventh-day Adventist knows all the truth, teaches Daniel Revelation seminars, but he's never been out in his community, and he doesn't know what the needs are, and he doesn't know what contribution to make in that community. So the director of the Wayfree Medical Clinics, she tells me that her husband has a need in the soup kitchens of Clay County. They run soup kitchens every Saturday morning in order to feed the hungry in our county. And so I put the word out to my church and I asked who of them would like to go out and help with the soup kitchens. We buy t-shirts, we get a logo, and we send our members out. And so they start helping with the soup kitchen. Suddenly bringing meaning and purpose to the young people. How many of you have a young person that you wished was here tonight? Just raise up your hand. Let me just see you. Our young people want to make a difference. Our young people want to make a contribution where they can see an area of need. They want to be useful. They don't just want to sit and listen and theorize about doing great things for God, like we've just earlier spoke about, that we all want to do. They want to do those great things. So here they are, our young people, going out, one of the teams, going out to the soup kitchens on a Sabbath morning. Yes, I got a lot of heat for that. But you know what? Those young people were fired up. Then I heard about an organization called Family Promise of Jacksonville who needed churches. It's an interfaith hospitality network. And I'm telling you all these things. I'm going to tie it together in just a minute. I heard about Family Promise of Jacksonville who needed churches, host churches, where homeless families could come and stay for 1 week. So what the host church does, the host church empties out their Sabbath school rooms or their Sunday school rooms, and they put up blow-up mattresses in those Sunday school rooms with a little lamp and a little table, and those families live in that Sunday school room for a week. At 6 o'clock in the morning, this bus arrives, picks up the families, and takes them to a central location where they get case management, they look for jobs, and then in the evening at 6 o'clock, they come back to your church, and a family feeds them. So we jumped right on board. Now we're doing the free medical clinic, we're doing the soup kitchens, and we're doing Family Promise. But we're in Clay County. Family Promise of Jacksonville is in Duval County. And if you know anything about county social services, it's very county specific. So we think to ourselves, how do we get something started like this in Clay County? So we contact some of our churches in that network, and it just doesn't quite gel. So we keep going with Family Promise of Jacksonville. But now, as I attend the Mercy Network now, it's probably 4 or 5 months that I've been attending the Mercy. Now the people at the Mercy Network start knowing Pastor Andre from the Orange Cove Church. You know why? Because Guy Galena, the director of the soup kitchen, when he introduced himself, guess what he says? Oh, I'm so thankful Pastor Andre from Orange Cove Church has helped us put 2 more teams in the soup kitchens. And Jeannie stands up, well, we are now offering Sunday services because of the Orange Cove Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I worked with Acts World Relief to bring one of their mobile kitchens into our semi-annual outreaches in the county. And they stand up and... So after about 5 months of attending the Mercy Network, and please, I share this with you humbly, because I see this as a very big deal for a Seventh-day Adventist pastor who never got out of his four walls. After 5 months of attending the Mercy Network, the president resigns. The vice president is a Catholic, and I'm sitting next to him when the retirement of the president is announced. And the president says, we want to nominate a new president for our organization. So I lean over to the vice president. I said, Bob, you've been here the longest. I'm going to nominate you. He leans over to me, says, no. He says, we need someone like you with the enthusiasm and the passion for Christ's compassionate work. And he puts his hand up and he nominates me as the president. And they unanimously vote and approve that nomination. Humbled for a Seventh-day Adventist pastor to be nominated into a network of organizations, local government, nonprofit, and interfaith was a huge, huge honor for me. It showed me what happens when we go out with disinterested love, and we love people and serve people with no agenda. And there I am with the Acts World Relief trailer. Acts World Relief is an Adventist organization. There I am with the president, the guy in the white shirt. The guy in the yellow shirt is the Catholic vice president. Mike Moran in the blue shirt is from the Red Cross. These are my friends. These are my friends. So, as the president of the Mercy Network, I now had a 30,000-foot view of the nonprofit organizations, the faith-based organizations, and the local county government. I could see what was missing in Clay County and what was needed in Clay County. What an honor. My friends, in your community, in your county is very specific. The funding that comes from the federal government or from the state government comes into your county. And if someone's living in your county, they can't go across county lines to get help. So why don't we, as churches, work within those confines of those counties and put our resources together in order to make a difference in the county? And here comes my testimony. God, in His mercy, is allowing our country to be in an economic pinch. You know why? Because the government should not be doing social services. You and I, as children of the Almighty God, should be doing social services. We should be serving the least of these. us, not the government. So one day, I get a call from a school social worker because she knows who the new president of the Mercy Network is. She calls me and she says, "Pastor Andre, they know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. They know exactly what I stand for. They know who I am. We're now friends. We've been there for 5-6 months together. Pastor Andre, we have a grandmother with 5 grandchildren living out of their car. Can you help us?" What do you say? "Well, I haven't got 80 members in my church. I don't know if I can do it." You know, you've got this little voice running in the back of your mind. "I'm not sure." Well, it just so happens that George Mueller is my hero. I've been reading and there's YouTube videos. I watched George Mueller's Life of Faith, how with 2 dimes in his pocket, God compelled him to start making a difference in his community with the crisis in Bristol, England, where orphans were living on the street, little urchins pilfering and stealing in order to survive. There were so many of them, they were a menace to society, and they were beaten off by the merchants. And George Mueller, a pastor with not 2 dimes in his pocket, decided that he would accept the promise of God. "Open your mouth and I will fill it abundantly." So he decided, he made a contract with God and he said, "God, I will not ask anyone for anything. If this is of you, you supply the needs." And so George Mueller started his first orphanage on a city street. And the word got out. Plates, linens, furniture started arriving. And before long, George Mueller filled that home with 30 orphans. He had to rent the home next door. "Lord, we need extra funds. God, please." And in the middle of the night, someone would stir, couldn't fall asleep, and the Lord would directly impress them. "Give money for the next rental of the next home." By the time of his death, George Mueller had fed, clothed, given medical services, educated over 100,000 orphans, built big mansions, 4-story buildings, through prayer. Greater things than these he will do. Greater things than these he will do. My friends, you will do. I will do. If we will accept that promise that Christ gave to his disciples. This world is ready for greater things. This world needs greater things. We need more pathways to health. We need more community integration. We need churches preparing the way for pathways to health a year before the time, so that the communities are ripe and ready, that the friendships can be formed, that we don't have to go argue with senators and with state representatives and with city councilmen in order to get permission. They'll just say, "Come and do it because we know you." We need Daniels, we need Josephs, we need men of faith who will get up, stand for principles, stand for truth. But be salt and light to go and mix in with people with disinterested love, as our prophet tells us. So, Pastor Andre, can you help us? We have a grandmother with 5 children that are in our schools. In the mornings, she comes out of the woods with that car because she puts a tarp outside. And some of the children sleep in the car, and some of the children sleep on the top. And then she goes behind the Exxon garage, and she opens the faucet, and she washes their little faces, and she gets them ready for the school bus, and then they go off to school. Can you help us? Of course I can help. Of course. We will make the necessary phone calls. And so because those relationships with the Catholics and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, so I make a phone call. I'm going to tell you the pastor's names, okay? I call Eric Jaffe of the Journey Church. I say, Eric, we have a problem. We have a grandmother with 5 grandchildren living out of her car. Can you help us? It costs $266 per week to keep them in the hotel. Can you pay for 1 week? But not just for this week. I want you to pay for 1 week every month because we're going to keep her in the hotel until we can get her a job and a place of her own. Can you help? Oh, Andre, yeah, sure. We'll help you. I call Pastor Pearl Bowles of the Orange Park United Methodist Church. Same thing, she agrees. I call Pastor Steve from the Evangel Temple. He agrees. I call Pastor Mike of the Grace Episcopal Church. I say, Pastor Mike, can you help us? He says, yes. Now I have 4 weeks coming in recurring every single month so that Grandma and her 5 grandchildren can stay in the hotel. I ask Becky Lunn from CFL Search and Rescue if she'll be the case manager because she's studying case management. So she volunteers to do case management so that Grandma can get a job and get out. And we use the network of services to supply the resources so that Grandma can get out. You with me? My friends, the needs in our communities are so great, we as Adventists can't deal with them alone. Why did God do that? Because He wants us to mix with the Philistines and the Syrians and the Amalekites and not lust after their gods, but show them God's love. To be so saturated in truth that our truth washes over them and convicts them. We've got to stop this nonsense of wanting to withdraw from Babylon. That is a spiritual withdrawal, not a physical withdrawal. It's a spiritual withdrawal from the teachings and the corruptions of Babylon. Absolutely. But the physical withdrawal, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So Grandma is in the hotel. So now guess what happens? Phone rings again. Pastor Andre, we have another single mom with 2 children living out of her car. Can you help us? What do I say? Yes or no? No, sorry, we have one already. This is too much for us. We have one. No, we say yes. Because you see, Family Promise of Jacksonville took 3 families that they looked after. And so we modeled ourselves after Family Promise of Jacksonville. But now, Brother Benny, we're starting a Clay County rotation. There's nothing in Clay County for homeless families. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church is spearheading a new initiative. And so there we have the next 2 other families. There's Becky Lunn with a red t-shirt. She was homeless herself, but she's now studying case management, and she's the case manager. And there we are at the Roadway Inn where we were keeping these families. So again, we pick up the phone. We start calling our friends. We raise enough money for this, for the next family. But guess what happens? The phone rings again. Pastor Andre, we have 931 children in Clay County that have no fixed address. And we have 1 more family that needs help. Can you help us? What do you say? Yes, of course we can. Greater things than these He shall do. So eventually we have 3 families living in the hotels being case managed. And on President's Day, I feel strongly impressed. I say, God, this is not sustainable. This is not an ideal environment for families to live in these extended stay hotels. There's lots of other influences there. Please, God, just open up. We need group homes. We need houses for these people. So Juliet and I, on President's Day, we get in our car, we go to Costco, one of our favorite date things to do, browse around Costco and wish. My phone rings. Mike Serig from the Celebration Church calls me. He says, Pastor Andre, he says, my wife Shelby and I feel strongly impressed. We have a rental home that we've been renting out as an investment, but we feel strongly impressed. We've seen on Facebook some of the posts that our pastor has been posting about this new service in Clay County for homeless families, and we would like to donate a home. I said, Mike, you have no idea the pressure I've been under. You have no idea. Thank you so much. And so we moved a family into that. It was a two-bedroom duplex. And then we still had more families that we had to deal with. So we decided we would be bold. We would go to our friends, the Methodists, because I'm a pastor of a small 80-member church. We just didn't have the resources to do it. So I'll go to Pastor Pearl Bowles and her senior pastor, and I sit down with them and I say, look, we know you have a heart for the homeless, but we need to rent a home in addition to this other home. Would you help us? They said, you know, that is much better value for money than we've been having, putting people in hotels as well. We'll rent a home. There is the grand opening of a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home in conjunction with Mike Serig's little duplex. And if you look at that picture, you see how I believe the work of God is going to be finished. When Seventh-day Adventist men and women, saturated with the truth of God, go out into their communities and make a difference, doing greater things for God, being shiny lights amongst people that are not saturated with God's truth. So you'll see there, I can name these people to you by name, and I can tell you what churches they come from and what government agencies they come from. I have this on the cover page of my Facebook because it's such a beautiful picture. My friends, Ellen White says to us, we must not chide and belittle the other denominations. She says that there are people of God in those churches that will hear present truth and will come out and join a mighty movement. Now let me tell you something. There are people that are going to come out of the Adventist church and join that mighty movement too. Because my friends, we have people in our churches that are not going to respond to present truth. What does Ellen White say? 1 in 20. So God's children are everywhere. God is working everywhere. We cannot underestimate God's power. In the business sector, we can't underestimate God's power. In the interfaith community, we can't underestimate God's power amongst the Muslims. We can't underestimate God's power amongst the Buddhists. God is powerful. And if we will pray in Jesus' name for God's Spirit to work in all of these different sectors of our world, He will, with might and with power, and surprise us. Okay, so we have the two homes. I'm at the Celebration Church one day. I'm hosting a table for this homeless initiative that we called it. And a very distinguished gentleman comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder. He says, excuse me, aren't you the group that's running these rental group homes for homeless families in Clay County? I said, yes, sir. He says, listen, man. He says, my name's John Kapalousis. I'm an attorney here in Clay County. I sit on the board of the Housing Finance Authority. And we have $6 million that's earmarked for the type of work that you're doing. You don't need to rent homes. come and see us. We'll give you funding to buy the homes. And as long as you use those homes for that purpose, you don't have to pay a dime. So needless to say, we draw a proposal, we go to the Housing Finance Authority, they say, look, you're a young organization, we can't give you $6 million, but we'll give you $520,000 to buy three homes as a pilot. And here we have a resident assistant standing in front of one of the first homes that was purchased. Of course, we moved out of the rental homes and we moved into these three beautiful homes. But you know, God is so amazing. He knows that if you put three families in a home, it's not an ideal situation, right? But we didn't get it. So what happened was the neighbors heard that we were housing homeless families in their backyard and they protested. So we felt like, oh God, what are you doing? Why would we have to move out of this? Oh man, this is defeat. But cut a long story short, we move out and somebody told us that in Clay County, they have quadruplexes. That's four apartments in a block. So we sell this measly little home in the neighborhood where nobody wants us, and we buy quadruplexes, and we get two families in an apartment. So instead of putting three families in a house, we can now put four families in a quadruplex. And we now bought three quadruplexes and a home. We went back to the Housing Finance Authority. So they have given us close to $1 million already to buy homes for homeless in Clay County. So my friends, this is my little hors d'oeuvre of the great things that God can do in a very humble and unqualified pastor's life in a small little church in Clay County, Florida. There's the quadruplex. It's in a beautiful development. There's a pool there, and it's just an amazing miracle. But, of course, as a volunteer, I couldn't keep leading this. So, a year earlier, I had done a tour with Eric Jaffe, the pastor of the Journey Church, to the City Rescue Mission of Jacksonville. And in the process of all this development, when I was too overwhelmed with all the developments with the homeless, I heard that Patrick Hale, the CEO of City Rescue Mission, had retired. And so I called him up. I said, Patrick, there's an unbelievable thing happening in Clay County. We need your help. And he was a little reluctant. He had retired. But cut a long story short now, Patrick Hale is now the CEO of Mercy Support Services in Clay County, Florida. It's an established 501c3. It has a full-time case manager. It has probably 13 or 14 staff. It has a full component board that runs it. And God opened the doors to that simple prayer that I prayed with Pastor Bob at the mission conference in 2009. This is a family that we met at one of our outreaches. They weren't married at the time. We baptized them and married them on the same day. And the question I ask you today is, do you believe that God is powerful enough, first of all, to answer your prayer in Jesus' name? Amen. And second of all, to work in the Methodist church across the street and in the Catholic church down the block? Do you believe that God is keeping people up at night, calling them to an end-time work to do the compassionate works of Christ? My friend, in the judgment, there'll be two classes of people. In Matthew chapter 25, we read about the end judgment, and there's only two groups of people. And who are they? The sheep and the goats. The sheep who did the compassionate works of Christ and the goats who did not. There weren't 50 groups of people, Baptists, Presbyterians, Adventists. No, there were two groups of people. Those who did the compassionate works of Christ and those who did not. And you know what makes the difference? True conversion. That is what saves us. Not the Adventist doctrine, but true conversion. And true conversion brings us to the Adventist doctrine. But it doesn't hold us there, my friends. It doesn't force us to be exclusive like the Jews were and be proud and boastful. It humbles us. It drives us out to be so saturated with God's word. Because, you see, my friends, sometimes when we've done the 28 fundamental beliefs and we've been dunked, we think we have our doctoral degree and that we're okay and that we don't need to be saturated anymore. And we become proud and arrogant and exclusive. And that's a trap of the enemy. We cannot let him do that to us. When we have come through the 28 fundamental beliefs, we need to keep being saturated, like Dr. Morris says. Friday night was a turning point for me. And that has established me and grounded me and motivated me to go deeper with God in the Word, go deeper with God in prayer, and go deeper with God in this muck called sin. And not to put on our little sterile gloves and to touch it. We need to get into our hands dirty. We need to go into the epicenter of this thing called sin. And we need to bring relief to those who are out of control, who are self-medicating just to cope one more day to avoid suicide. We need to go in there, saturated, prayed up. We need to go there in the name of Jesus. Shut out, driven, thrown into the harvest. And those of you who put your hands up, who wish there was a young person here tonight, take them with you. They want meaning and they want purpose. They want to make a difference. They want John 14 verse 12 to be a reality in their lives. They want to do greater things than these. I challenge you, they will go. The most popular group for volunteering in Clay County is our retired community. We love them because they have the time, they've got the experience, and they do all kinds of jobs in volunteering in the community. The health department loves them. All the nonprofits love our retired community. But you've got to excite the young people. Go get involved. Find out what's going on in your county. Find out what's not going on in your county. Make a difference and invite young people to go with you. And you will see a movement start in your county that will do greater things than these for God's kingdom. What do you say tonight? Are you ready to be thrown into the harvest? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, you do nothing by accident, Lord. And your timing is always perfect. Sometimes we're not ready to be propelled or to be ex-ballowed into our communities. But Father, we can see a movement, we can see the rumblings of a great movement starting. We can see with Pathways and the mission emphasis that's taking place here in West Virginia and in the North American division, the compassion movement, the cause movement. Oh God, we ask tonight that you will open our ears to hear your call. My friends, tonight, if something in this message tonight has echoed with your heart and you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to get out of your comfort zone and walk down the road to the Salvation Army or walk down the road to the Methodist food pantry and go and offer your services, if you feel compelled to go and find out what's missing in your county and be part of doing Christ's compassionate work, I want you to stand up and make a commitment to God tonight to go and make a difference in your community here in West Virginia. Just stand. We're in prayer. No one's looking around. Because I prayed before this service that God will touch people's hearts to get out of their four walls and go and make a difference. Father in heaven, we pray that you will open up our hearts to understand the calling of Christ to be salt and light in the communities around us and to give you the credit that you've already worked in multiple locations in our county, and you are waiting for us to go and connect the dots. And I thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I'll be available afterwards to answer any questions that you might have. Scott, let's sing the closing song, number one. Our musicians on standby. I want us to sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," a bulwark never failing, that we can again reconnect with how truly powerful and mighty God is, and that He wants to do great things with you in your community. Amen.